What I tell everybody is just learn the rules. And what that really starts with is you have to unlearn a lot of these unwritten rules that we just live our life by. Like you have to go to school to get a good job, you buy a house, you buy a car. So just unlearn the rules and then learn the rules that really matter. And that's what we're trying to teach with this Choose FI book and my writing on the blog. And hopefully that can impact some people to change their lives.
Chris Mamula, a really, really interesting guy, a mix of physical therapist, but also brings in like a financial aspect. Retired at a super young age as a PT, and he says no tricks here. It's just the fundamentals, a lot like physical therapy. So we look inside Chris's story, including a blog and a book that he has published and continues to publish online, on how you can achieve financial independence. Episode is always brought to you by our friends at Owens Recovery Science, a single source for physical therapists looking for personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it, online at owensrecoveryscience.com.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world. Heard in over 135 countries with more than 1 million downloads and counting.
This is
the PT Pintcast. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, the next episode of the PT Pintcast starts right now. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. On the show today, a guy who was a PT and athletic trainer and then retired from his career in 2017. He's the primary author of the recently published book, Choose FI, Your Blueprint to Financial Independence, along with writing the blog, Can I Retire Yet? Welcome, Chris Mamula, to the show. Chris, welcome to the program, man.
I'm very excited to be here and connect with some other physical therapists who hopefully I can give some hope and a different message, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, PTs, PT students, PTAs, PTA students love absorbing content from within the profession, right? Clinical stuff right down the middle. But they also love this stuff that kind of goes on the edge, you know, watching what other colleagues and people outside the profession are doing. And I love when things kind of cross. And it was Jared Hall, right, who was answering three questions, which we ask on the show. And we'll get to you in just a little bit. But one of those questions is, who should the audience know more about? And he brought you up. That's got to feel pretty cool.
Yeah, so I write about what's called FIRE, Financial Independence, Retire Early. And when I found this whole message, it was 2012. And kind of the whole scene was like engineers, ultra frugal people. It was all about spreadsheets and optimizing. And as I found this, I found like I was doing a lot of the stuff that they were doing, but I was a physical therapist. I had my background was in, you know, the medical professions. I had zero knowledge in finance. I couldn't create a spreadsheet. I still couldn't create a spreadsheet if my life depended on it.
You and me both.
And so I just wanted to kind of create a more diverse message. And it's kind of funny because, I mean, we're here on video, but we're doing a podcast, so people can't see me, but I'm a white guy. And like everybody in this thing, it was like these either white guys or couples with no kids or maybe one kid. And so I actually fit a lot of these stereotypes, but I didn't kind of see the message of my life being reflected. So I wanted to kind of bring a different message. And this FIRE movement has really grown and it's gotten much more diverse. And so that's really exciting. But I still think there's a lot of limiting beliefs when in the healthcare professions, and particularly there's a lot of doctors that talk about this, but in the lower paying healthcare professions, we don't see many people, physical therapists or nurses or things like that. So it's cool to be able to get this message out there.
All right. So real quick, we'll look macro and then we'll go backwards and how you got there. You retired at what age as a physical therapist after working how long?
I was 41. I retired in 2017 after starting my career in 2001.
Wow. So 16 years, boom, you retired.
Yes.
Great. So now we know the end. Let's go back.
All right.
How'd you do that? And why, you know, what started you on that path to being able to get to that moment?
Yeah. So my wife and I, we started, she graduated school a year before me and she was not a physical therapist, but her career kind of paralleled mine with regards to salaries and our career growth. And she graduated with some debt. And I know I was extremely rare among physical therapists, but I was actually able to finish my master's degree debt-free. And my family, that was just something that was preached to us. Like we do not do debt in our household. And so, And so even though like my wife, she put herself through school completely on her own and she didn't have a lot of debt, probably about $25,000, but that freaked me out to have any debt. And so we really wanted to get debt-free. And so we just sat down and talked about it. And, we worked together to get out of debt before we got married, which we did just a couple of months after I started my job, just basically by living off of her salary and everything I was making while going to PT school was going towards her debt. And then my first couple of paychecks got her out of debt. And so that was just working for us. So we kept living on her salary and we banked my physical therapy salary for basically 16 years. And, you know, that was, we never really had a grand plan because we didn't think normal people with normal salaries could retire at 40 or whatever. But it just felt good for us to save, give us a feeling of security. So that's kind of what we did. And that's how we got there.
Dirtbag millionaire. That's kind of a weird juxtaposition of terms. Talk about what that means, because I'm sure that played part, you know, into your financial independence in the long run.
Yeah. So just hearing that term, it kind of makes me smile. And that was kind of how we got to this point of saving a lot is, so my wife and I, we got, we started, we never really were outdoors people. Both of us, we never really grew up with the means to ski or travel a lot with our families. And so as we became professionals, one thing that was important to us and that we spent money on was traveling and seeking adventure. And we kind of got engrossed in this this rock climbing community. And the term is like being a dirtbag, and probably more familiar to people is like being a ski bum in the skiing community, where people just basically, they're really poor because they're pursuing their passion 100%. And so there was definitely appeal to that. It was exciting to do something all out. But by the same token, we've kind of grew up poor and we went through school and kind of scrimped and saved. And we kind of liked having not having to be poor. And so we kind of try to choose the best of both worlds. So the best of this dirtbag world where we were really spending our money on the things that were important to us, but at the same time, kind of building up wealth. And again, the term millionaire, we kind of thought that was maybe unachievable when we were starting. And but I think it's very achievable for most professionals, like physical therapists. That's very a very achievable goal. So we kind of combined the best of both worlds and became this dirtbag millionaire is what we termed it.
And what did it look like? I mean, you know, really, and now we're starting to hear about these types of approaches more and more. A guy by the name of Gary Vee, I'm not sure if you're a Gary Vee, you know, listener, reader, watcher, he talks about something really simpler, which kind of came across in reading about you, which is stop buying stupid crap that other people see as valuable that you don't, like really spending money to look like a millionaire. When you look at a ski bum or a dirtbag millionaire, they buy the stuff or they do the stuff that they think is important, that's meaningful to them. It sounds simple, but a lot of people fall in that trap.
Yeah, totally agree. And so basically what we did is we started living off of one salary, which was my wife's. And again, it was the equivalent of a physical therapy salary. So this is something that's replicable to your audience. And we banked my salary. And we did that by choosing a house we could afford on that one salary, not buying the most fancy or expensive cars, but driving, you know, cheaper used cars, because that stuff just wasn't important to us.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we were able to spend on stuff that was. So we've traveled. I mean, we've been to Africa. We hiked Mount Kilimanjaro. We've been to Australia, swam the Great Barrier Reef. We've been to Alaska, all throughout the Mountain West, skied everywhere, because that was the stuff that mattered to us. And if you free up, I mean, if you look at what the average person spends on housing, cars, and food, which is over 50% of their spending. So if you're really able to optimize on those big things and get big wins, if that's not that important to you, you can save a lot and still live a pretty remarkable lifestyle.
So were you following a template, or were you just surprisingly thinking about what you were going to spend and how you were going to spend it before you did it? Where'd you get this kind of approach, or was it by accident?
Honestly, it was by accident. And so we got those big things right. But also, I mean, we talked about how I was able to, quote unquote, retire after 16 years of my career. We didn't do everything right by any means. I mean, we made massive mistakes with investing and tax planning because we had no clue. Like most professionals, you go to school for 5, 7, 10 years, whatever, to learn how to make a lot of money, but nobody ever really teaches you what to do with it. And so when you're like, quote unquote, getting educated, it's usually by people selling financial products. And that was our education. And so, yeah, we made some really big mistakes along the way.
Yeah. I heard a great, great quote, saw it on social media. It was like, I was really glad I learned about how to find the area of a parallelogram, you know, every April 15th on Parallelogram Day. That really doesn't come up, but you know, being smart financially, That's a big lesson you need to make sure you learn, myself included. And that's really why when I saw Jared suggest you and your backstory, I thought you'd be really valuable to the audience. So along this trajectory, left in your career in 2017 after 16 years as a PT, I want to say it. Congratulations on being smart, working hard, yourself and your wife included. Immediately started working on Choose Financial Independence, a book in partnership with the Choose FI podcast. Let's talk about that stuff.
Yeah, sure. So I think where we got to is I was kind of just burning out on my career and just trading time for money, which I think is what you have to do to make money as a physical therapist. Yeah. And I wanted just more freedom. So really what I talked about, a lot of the mistakes I made, what kind of drove me to in 2012 to start going down this fire rabbit hole is we had a daughter, and we didn't think we could have kids. And all of a sudden we had a daughter, and I realized like, I need to get serious, and I have another, I can't just be a ski bum or a dirt bag. I need to actually be responsible for another life. And so that's what got me serious about it. So we started going down this path then and just kind of learning and gradually growing from there.
That sounds good. All right. So when you do eventually retire, talk about the book. You know, why? Why work on a book? Is it to share the message? And what message would that be?
Yeah. So when I started down this path, again, I didn't see another physical therapist doing this. And we talked about Jared, but there's really not many others that I know of still that are writing about this. It's so I wanted to kind of just show that this message, that this path is accessible for a lot of people. You don't have to be, you know, born coming out of the womb knowing everything about personal finance and what an index fund is and how to do tax planning. You don't have to make $1 million a year. This is really accessible for normal people. And this message completely changed my life. And it allowed me to really live the life I want to. I'm able to focus time on my daughter. I'm able to get out and seek these adventures that I wanted to. And I'm still able to give back and have impact in the world. And I think it's very replicable if you know what to do. And also if you just see other examples of people that kind of look like you and have similar story and similar goals. So I wanted to share that. And it's kind of one of those things, like once you find this message, once you see it, you kind of can't unsee it. And it was almost a moral obligation. Like I felt like I needed to share it.
What can people get out of the book? The title is Choose FI, Choose Financial Independence. And talk about what people can get out of the book and then the podcast as well.
So first off, I think the title is really important, Choose FI, because I think a lot of people think they might hear this and think the financial independence sounds appealing, but you know, financial topics tend to turn people off and they sound pretty boring. What I really want to emphasize is that choose FI, the choose, because it really is a matter of making some simple choices that, you know, we talked about, like my wife really tried to limit her debt and I was able to get out of school debt-free. That was very intentional and very planned and a lot of hard work to get to that point. And then we chose to take a different path with, you know, buying less house than we could quote unquote afford, or not going out and following what we saw everybody else doing, which was getting the new car or the fancy truck or something like that. So it's really making choices. And that's what we really want to emphasize in the book. And then the financial things, they're going to fall into place and it's going to enable this lifestyle, but it all starts with making choices.
Love the fact that you touch on that in terms of financial topics kind of turning people off. And what I like about you and your story is, you know, you're kind of one of us. You know, you're a physical therapist. So we're not hearing it from some guy who's worked on Wall Street or a guy who's been a financial planner and he's managed billions and billions of dollars. You're somebody who's saying, hey, I did this thing. I saw this story. Now I can't unsee it. So come along with me and take a look at this project. So the book kind of debuted pretty well in terms of Amazon, which is one of the largest bookseller in the world. How'd it do?
We did well. And I think a lot of that, honestly, I kind of fell into a little bit of luck. So what I wanted to do is, like I said, I didn't see people that looked like me pursuing this path. And so what I thought is, you know, there was these people that influenced me, and then there's a lot of other interesting stories out there. So what I wanted to do was start a podcast. And then I'm a huge Tim Ferriss fan. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he wrote a book called Tools of Titans. And I'm a big listener to his podcast. And then what he did is he took all these lessons from the podcast and he compiled them in a book. And even though I listened to the podcast, I love that book and it added a lot of value for me. So I thought that would be a great way to do it. So I was going to start a podcast. And then these two guys started the Choose FI podcast. And it was exactly what I wanted to do. And so I thought, like, instead of trying to compete with them and they've got a head start, I just reached out to them and I said, would you guys want to partner on the book? And that's how the whole book came about. And so their podcast has really exploded. They have a really big audience. And so, so it was a partnership in that I really wrote the book, but I used a lot of their material and a lot of their lessons. And then we're working together on marketing. So that was a big boost to get out there and start selling some books.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can't beat them, join them. You also work creating content on a regular basis in the form of a blog. Can I retire yet? Since January of 2018. Talk about that, because I love what I'm hearing, because these are very similar things to what I do. Is you're creating content and you're sharing it in multiple different forms of media: written, audio, book, blog, social media. So talk about the blog. What can people get out of it? Where can they find it?
Yeah. So the blog is called Can I Retire Yet? And the blog was started by a gentleman named Darrow Kirkpatrick. And I was just a reader of the blog. And I find myself asking that question, can I retire yet? I wanted to escape this career that, you know, I'd sunk a lot of time and effort into, but I was really kind of, again, just burning out on, and I wanted to do something different. And a lot of the, you know, the FIRE blogs, they were kind of extreme and, you know, you have to save a lot. And he was just very down to earth. much less extreme story. He retired at 50. And so I loved his story. So it was really kind of that same story that I reached out to him as well. And I guess kind of my, if I have a special talent, it is finding people who are more talented than me and finding a way to latch onto them. And so I kind of did the same thing there. And I just said, you know, like, I've been a reader of the blog. I'm leaving my career and I want to write and reach more people. And so I reached out to him and asked him, and he agreed. And so we kind of partnered, and that's what I'm doing now on a regular basis.
And what's that look like in terms of frequency, and what are you sharing there?
Yeah, so we just write basically 4 blog posts a month between the two of us. So it's not a ton of work. So he writes one, I write two, and then we just kind of do a roundup of the best articles from around the internet. And we do that as our 4th post. So it's really something that's very scalable, where I can spend a lot of time researching a topic, put out 1 or 2 new articles a month, and then reach a lot of people. And that's really a mindset shift, I think, for physical therapists, because we're so trapped in, you know, your value is you see one patient, you charge a code, and you're really limited. Like, there's only so many 15-minute segments in the day unless you want to work 24 hours a day. And so by finding a totally different way to get your message out there and something that scales, it's been a mindset changer for me, and it showed me a different way of doing things.
I like that. Can we get into some tactics after we take a second to do how I support the show, which is talk about a sponsor? So some tactical things that physical therapists, either early in their career or moving on. We'll get into that with Chris Mandler right now. I want to thank NewStep for sponsoring the show. Brand new sponsor coming on. They created the first product of its kind 25 years ago, a recumbent cross trainer used in clinics all across the world now. It's a mainstay in PTs worldwide, and they've got something new, innovating with the new Transit that uses advanced software and hardware to help you get your patients better faster. Transit delivers real-time biofeedback in meaningful ways for awareness of PT performance, informs with goals, and tracks progress. Identify and correct deficits or imbalances in real time. Make sure you check those guys out right now at newstep.com.
The PT Pinecast will be right back.
Want to thank Brooks IHL. That's Brooks Rehabilitation Institute of Higher Learning, offering residencies, fellowship education, orthopedics, women's health, geriatrics, neurologic PT, pediatric sports. That's an overview of their residencies. Check out what they have to offer at brooksihl.org. World-class educational opportunities to the local and regional community. Check them out, brooksihl.org.
Like what you hear? Tell a friend or leave a review on iTunes or Google Play. This is the PT Pinecast.
All right, so let's get tactical, Chris. What are some things that people can do either early in their career or mid-career, things that kind of apply to everybody in terms of finances?
Okay, so the way we broke down the book, we started just by changing your mindset, and we talked a bit about that. But really, there's only 3 things you can do. You can spend less, you can earn more, you can invest better, right? So if we always start with spend less, just because And people don't like to talk about frugality, and sure, they look at it as sacrifice. But if you look at it as a mindset shift, and by not having all your money go out the door before it ever comes to you, it really creates freedom. And so you really need to reframe that. And so to have a high savings rate, we kind of touched on this already, but housing, cars, and food, those are the big things. And those aren't going to excite a lot of people, because it does involve maybe downsizing or getting less fancy. And especially if you've already started, if you're a student, it's a heck of a lot easier. It's harder once you've made these decisions to go backwards. But sometimes that's what it's going to require, depending on where you are. But the really exciting thing is, once you start to develop a savings rate, you can start saving on taxes. And I don't know anybody that wants to pay more taxes. So that's a way you can actually make huge savings, you know, thousands of dollars a year without sacrificing anything. As you start to develop some financial independence, you don't need as much insurance. I don't know anybody that likes paying insurance premiums. And then as you learn about investing, I mean, that's really expensive. If you can save on investing fees. So between those 3 things, you can easily save tens of thousands of dollars a year as you start to build wealth with zero sacrifice. But you do have to do those housing, cars, food. You have to do the little things first to get that savings rate up.
And you already went into that in terms of buying a house within your means and not buying something bigger. In terms of cars, use over new. What about food, though? I mean, that's something. Is that just smarter choices? Is that being smarter at the supermarket? Is it as simple as that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of people, there is this extreme frugality segment of the FIRE community, and I would not fall into that. And one area where we talked about just spending on what you value. So my wife and I, we actually eat a mostly organic diet, very low grains, very low carbs. So, I mean, it's not a cheap diet, but we don't go out to eat a lot. We cook ourselves. We actually find it's easier to do it that way. And especially now that we have a child, it's much easier to just eat in. It's more pleasurable. Sure. So we do a lot of cooking on our own, meal planning, stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, we still probably spend a lot less than the average person because we just eat out very rarely. So that one little simple thing there. But no, it doesn't mean eating rice and beans or anything. If you saw our diet, you would not probably consider us frugal.
Oh, that's being smart. And that's turning food into something you need to consume and not an experience necessarily, or treating that experience, you know, as a treat instead of just, you know, normal part of your week.
Yeah. And when we do go out to eat, I mean, we're probably eating at a higher end restaurant and it is the experience, but we're not dropping $40 to go to, not to throw them under the bus, but Applebee's or Chili's or something, just right, because it's convenient and it's quick, because we've planned a little bit better and, you know, we can eat a much better meal for $7 or $8 versus spending $40 just to go out and eat kind of crappy food and drop a tip and all that stuff. So
yeah, it adds up. And that's really what I think focusing on creating financial independence with your FIRE movement really focuses people to do, is just take a look at what you're doing. I think there's a lot of different apps. Do you recommend any apps for tracking spending? I've noticed more and more of these things popping up, but any that you've looked into maybe with your blog that you'd suggest that PTs out there could take advantage of?
You know, there are a lot of them, but I am not a technology person. I'm very simple. My wife tracks things on an Excel spreadsheet for us.
She's one of those.
Yeah. And I told you, like, I couldn't even build the spreadsheet. I can enter the numbers now after she trained me and beat it into me. But no, I'm definitely not a tech person. And unfortunately, I don't have a lot of great recommendations for you there.
Yeah. The one I just found was the new Apple Card, you know, no fees. So if you make sure you pay your spending every month and you don't carry a balance and you don't pay any interest and no hidden fees, but it really does. It gives you this nice breakdown, this spreadsheet without me having to enter anything of what I'm spending on it. And you start to notice what adds up, and it can be scary because when you swipe that card, it doesn't actually feel like money.
Yeah. And I don't really think it matters how you do it, but you do have to see where your money's going. That's extremely powerful. And I talked about, like, we were saving roughly 50% of our income by living off one and saving one. But once we did that really without tracking, we just kind of started that basic system. But once we did start tracking some other areas like saving money, like we cut out, I was using a flip phone because I'm just, like I said, I'm not a technology person. And I was spending like $50 or $60 a month for this crappy plan with a crappy phone. And now I use, it's called an MVNO, and I'm not even sure off the top of my head what that stands for. But basically what it is they take cell phone providers' extra minutes and they repackage them and sell them. So I spend about $10 a month and I use a smartphone that's much better, great camera, does everything I need it to do. And so I actually, again, I'm living better for less just by kind of making little smart decisions. But if you don't see where your money's going and you don't realize what the options are, it's hard to make changes and it's hard to improve.
Yeah, just more of that insight that you can get when you check out Chris's blog and his book. We'll make sure we put the links to all of your different outlets in the show notes of this episode. Last thing I wanted to get into, why retirement was the wrong goal for you and likely is for us as well. What does that mean?
Well, I think, like, we kind of all know the rules, like, right? So like you work until you're 60 or 70 and then you retire. And so you get into this FIRE movement, the early retirement movement. And so basically you're just cramming everything into 20 years or 15 years, and then you're living that same thing, but you don't have to do that. And so I think what I found that I did is, number one, I just kind of burnt myself out even more. I was already burning out, which was my motivation to start. And then I was so focused on this finish line that I kind of made myself miserable. And that last couple of years, I really kind of just started to hate my job because all I wanted to do was look at the finish line, look at the next thing. And so instead of improving my life, I think I was making my life worse. And then what you find is, I think we romanticize because, I mean, you know, you see the retirement commercials and everybody's playing golf or on a beach or sipping an umbrella drink. But like you get to this point of being able to retire early because you save a lot of money. And there's a lot of comfort in that. You're not going to do it if you're sacrificing every day. You have to like doing it or you're going to fall, just like losing weight or exercising or anything that we're familiar with. It's the same thing. And so what I find is when you retire, you're giving up a lot of that security. And now you're kind of spending down your assets that you were building up. And that's scary. And like as a physical therapist, you're helping people every day. You're having an impact. And if you're losing that, I mean, there's value in that. And so you have to think, what are you actually going to do on the other side of retirement that's going to allow you to fulfill that part that you do like, even if you don't necessarily like all the paperwork and the stuff like that that goes along with being a physical therapist. There are rewarding aspects. How are you going to replace that and replenish that in your life? So I think just retirement in the traditional sense is, I don't know that it's a great thing for a 60 or 70 year old. And I certainly don't think it's a great thing for a 40 year old to just kind of step out of society and don't do anything productive and give back. So it's much more for me now about, how can I live this life in alignment with what I value? And how can I do that without the financial scarcity that comes with a traditional retirement?
Yeah, well said. We found you by talking with another guest during Three Questions. Time to do Three Questions right now. You ready for that?
I am ready.
On the Hot Seat with three questions on the PT Pinecast.
All right. Brought to you by Arias Medical Staffing. They find PTs jobs, Chris, all around the country. You've been from Pennsylvania to Utah, anywhere you want to go, all settings. They find physical therapists and physical therapist assistants, either short-term travel assignments so you can move about the country and make your career a little bit of a vacation, or long-term assignments, whatever works for you. Plus, they get into the things you don't think about. Some of them we're talking about today. Taxes from state to state, CEUs, licensing, moving back and forth. How do you do it? Well, if you're traveling with Arias, they got you covered. So find out where you can go with your PT license online at AUREUSmedical.com. That is AUREUSmedical.com. So first question is always the where question, Chris. You went from the Pittsburgh area, Western Pennsylvania to Utah. But if you had a short-term assignment, maybe 13 weeks, where's somewhere in the country you wouldn't mind doing what you do?
So I talked about how I'm not very good at following the rules. So I'm going to bend the rules here a little bit. I think okay. My favorite place I've ever been, and I'd love to spend more time there, is a U.S. territory in the U.S. Virgin Islands and the island of St. John. I just absolutely love it there. You can kind of totally unplug. Like St. Thomas is the other island. That's where all the cruise ships go. But you get a little ferry and go to St. John's. And it's an amazing place where you can totally unplug, walk from one side of the island to the other. It's so tiny. And it's just a beautiful place. And I love it there.
That's great. All right. Second question is a what question. This is so myself and the audience can either, you know, stack up our Netflix queue or our reading list. What's something you've watched, listened to, or read that really inspired you?
There's a book called Essentialism, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less by an author named Greg McKeown. And it really kind of just resonated with me. I talk a lot about, like, I don't consider myself an ultra frugal person, or I don't consider myself a minimalist. But what he really talks about is with this essentialism is you can't have everything. So what do you really want? What do you really need? And then how do you build your life in alignment with that by saying no to a lot of the okay things, so you have space to say yes to the things you really want and the really great things. So I think it's a great book, and I recommend that all the time.
Yeah, so tiring as you just as you say that is when you say yes to a bunch of those okay things, which are by definition okay, and then something really great pops up, and there's no room for it. That's such a letdown.
Yep. Whether that's time, money. Yep.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Last question is a who question. This is where we found you. Who's someone in the audience should know more about?
Well, we talked about the Choose FI book. And so Choose FI is a podcast, which I think inspires a lot of people. They tell a lot of great stories. And that's what caused me to reach out to write this book. But what I've kind of found, and what I think has made them so popular over the last 2 years since they launched, they have these local communities on Facebook. And then these people actually meet up, like generally, like I'm in the Salt Lake, I go to the Salt Lake City meetups, and we generally meet up once a month. And I think it's just really powerful if you want to do something different in your life to see other people who are also doing that. And so I would really encourage people, check out the podcast, but really check out their local groups, find one in your area, and just go to a meeting and just talk to people. If you think you want to do something different with your life, but it's really hard when you don't have an example. And I think it's really powerful to see other people and to really talk to them in real life, because anybody can say anything on the internet.
Sure.
But when you start to meet people and see what they're doing, it's really remarkable. It's really inspiring. And I would encourage people to check those out.
Yeah. Asking tactical questions to people who've maybe run into those roadblocks or those walls or those twists and turns, because you can get a lot of information from a book or a podcast, but being able to have that back and forth, which is why I launched a podcast, so I can have back and forth and not just listen. I can interact. That's a great example. People can reach you. You want to just hit them with maybe a Twitter account, Instagram, an email, something that they can reach out to you if they have some questions for you.
Yeah, by far the easiest and best way to reach me. My blog is called Can I Retire Yet? If you just go there, I have an email contact. I'm very responsive, or just leave a comment and I respond to those. And I'm love to connect with listeners and especially other physical therapists. That's really rewarding to know. Like, that's why I got into this, is to show that this is possible for people following that path. So love to connect with you guys.
All right. Last thing we do on the show, Chris, is called your parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
Your last chance for like a mic drop moment. It's the last thing you want to leave and burn to the listener's mind before they go. It's brought to you by Rock Tape. More than just a tape company, a movement company. The classes, the instruction, the education to help your patients move stronger, longer. Check them out online at rocktape.com. Chris, your parting shot. What do you got for the audience?
I think what I tell everybody is just learn the rules. And what that really starts with is you have to unlearn a lot of these unwritten rules that we just live our life by. Like, you have to go to school to get a good job, you buy a house, you buy a car. So just unlearn the rules and then learn the rules that really matter. And that's what we're trying to teach with this Choose FI book and my writing on the blog. And hopefully that can impact some people to change their lives.
Yeah, I love that view again on essentialism, which is maybe saying no to those good things is a better idea to make sure there's room for those great things. Chris Mamula, appreciate appreciate your time here on the program. Thanks for sharing.
It was a pleasure to talk with you, and hopefully we can help some PTs improve their life.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Our home on the internet.
ptpinecast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
The PT Pinecast supports Team Gleason, led by Steve Gleason. Steve played for the New Orleans Saints from 2000 to 2008. He will always be remembered for his blocked punt on the night the Louisiana Superdome reopened for the first time after Hurricane Katrina. In 2011, Steve was diagnosed with ALS, a considered terminal neuromuscular disease. It is his mission to show that patients can not only live, but thrive after this diagnosis. In doing so, he hopes to inspire others to do the same. Steve and his wife Michelle formed Team Gleason. Their mission is to provide individuals with neuromuscular diseases or injuries with leading-edge technology, equipment, and services, create a global conversation about ALS to ultimately find solutions and an end to the disease. Find out more at teamgleason.org.